again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. The great celebration. For the first time in basically a year, I had raw milk delivered to me today, and I've already had two smoothies. And boy, what a difference. What a joy. It comes from a Mennonite family with 9 kids. Does this sound vaguely similar to a family you know? Like mine? Or should I say ours? But anyway, the Lord offers His grace and His little bits of joy. And, you know, I know for most people that's kind of a, what does it matter? It's a big deal to me. And I do believe it is one of the, it has been one of the great factors in my health. Because when I got to raw milk, I started losing so much weight. It was ridiculous. So I started drinking a lot of it. And I think it's helped me in so many ways. And I'm grateful that I've got it back. I also have been concerned because obviously there's a dramatic cultural change happening right now because of the pandemic that is occurring. And one of the things I have pointed out to others, and I'm seeing some reports on it now, the statistics validating this because people are talking about it, is the increase in depression. And suicide, and things of that nature. Apparently, there's some evidence that the increase in suicide rate is greater. I mean, the number of people who have committed suicide beyond the typical has increased to the point that it eclipses the number of people who potentially may have died beyond the normal flu season, which potentially is also zero. But there is a significant impact here, and that I wonder about my own family. What's happening to my family? You know, does anybody in my family wear a mask? Do you social distance? Do you isolate? I have no reason to. I've been called out as being a bad person because of it, but I have no reason to. One, because I'm healthy, and two, because I trust in the Lord, and three, that I can point out the fallacy in what's going on. Three things that don't go over well. The other thing is, obviously, I said as we were coming up to our anniversary that I was going to do the video per day, which I basically did. There were a few days there where I was rather discouraged and didn't. So I did it. But at one time, I made the shift towards doing things to basically, I started with, when I was trying to explain things, I did an individual video to each of our kids and grandkids. You know, including Isaac and Brent. I did those. And then I started doing things on what I termed as kind of the fundamentals, some serious fundamentals what it is to be a follower of Christ. And some of those became really strong, and I felt encouraged about them. So I figured, okay, I'm going to make them more widely public. And as I mentioned, through the dialogue with my friend Chris, he said, yes, do it, but add the scripture overlays, which the ones that have gone public have that. I'll do that to the others in time. And he also suggested I put a transcript, but but they've gone out. And my feeling is, again, I've used the example of, if you go back to what happened with my marketing of Heritage Systems, is I would be out there. I'd be out there. You know, we were using magazine ads at the time, and then suddenly something happened. You know, and obviously the one that is easily pointed to is the New York Stock Exchange. It came from a magazine ad. And, you know, the magazine ad turned into a $1 million sale. So what I'm finding is that there may be some interest, because when I put the one out today on Theonostos, God Breathed, within the hour, I had almost as many views as the others. It's kind of like, wow. And, you know, there's also, you have subscribers. This is on BitChute. You have subscribers, just like you have on YouTube and so forth. And I've got like 3 new ones. I had like 12, 13. Now I have 16. Yeah, those are not big numbers. But I think what happened is somebody said, oh, that's interesting. And the point is, it's not that I'm not trying to build a, you know, million following, because this is not a revenue generator. I'm not trying to get a big audience to point to me. I'm trying to point to the Lord. But I want to encourage. So part of the objective is to encourage people that I'll never talk with. And part of the objective is to open to dialogue. And that I'm hoping for, because obviously I'm setting foundations, and then we'll hit other areas, which will maybe cause a little more tension. So, you know, I said I was going to do this, and, you know, they're going public now. So it's happening. I've been thus far encouraged by the reaction. Again, I'm a small-time player. I understand that. But my objective, again, is not to get the large audience, but to get my family back. And also, you know, as I've studied scripture, you know, one of the things I think it's even on the one I did today or yesterday, the 2 Timothy 4, where it's frequently translated as preach the word. Perhaps in modern English more precisely translated as proclaim, because preach has the connotation of a guy behind a pulpit, and it's not what it is. It's caruso in Greek. It's easy to remember because of the opera singer's name, Enrico, whatever, caruso. We're called to proclaim, and it's not a specific call to Timothy. Look at the context clearly. It's a blanket call to the follower of Christ. And when do you do it? In season, out of season, or when you have the opportunity, or when you don't have the opportunity. In other words, you do it all the time. And the other thing that I point out is with complete patience. In other words, you don't give up. And I hope you see that in me. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up in trying to reconcile my family. And I'm not going to give up in proclaiming obedience to Christ. Dorothy Jane, I got really long. I was going to say I'm sorry, but no, I'm not sorry. I love you. I love my family. And I'm going to do what I can. I say that I am doing it alone, but I'm not. I love you, Dorothy Jane.